This message, entitled In Remembrance of Me, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on July 29th, 2018 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr.
And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And said Cornelius, "Thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God."
All right. In remembrance of me. Richard Allen grew up in slavery. Slavery. Working the fields alongside his family on Stokely Sturgis's Delaware farm. Before Richard was fully grown, his mother and his three siblings were sold, and he never saw them again. Heavy-hearted, he followed a crowd of slaves into the field to hear a Methodist preacher. "I was brought to myself. I was poor, wretched, and undone," he wrote. "Shortly after, I obtained mercy through the blood of Christ." In other words, he got saved. Praise God. Jesus had purchased his spiritual freedom, but soon it was he who purchased his freedom from slavery. It's a technical way that they had of doing it. They were worth so much. If he could come up with the money, or if friends could help him or whatever, he could be set free. This is a big, big thing. Jesus had purchased his spiritual salvation through the cross, but his physical salvation would come through paying the bill, so to speak. And then he went out on the road as an itinerant Methodist evangelist. In 1786, he joined the staff of Philadelphia's St. George Methodist Episcopal Church. There's a mouthful for you. The mother church of the American Methodism. His 5 a.m. Sunday services, 5 a.m., you thought you got up early today. 5 a.m. Sunday services attracted many slaves at a time before they had to actually start work in slavery. White parishioners felt uneasy, and before long, the blacks were denied seating and were relegated to standing along the walls. Standing room only, I guess you could say. Reverend Robert Morgan, writing on this story, continues. He says, "Still, the church grew, and the building expansion became necessary. On the first morning of the new sanctuary, Allen took his seat in the new balcony. As the congregation knelt for prayer, he heard a scuffle. A church trustee was pulling blacks to their feet, trying to force them from the gallery of this balcony. 'Wait until the prayer is over,' whispered a disturbed worshiper, 'and we'll trouble you no more.' But the trustee just increased his efforts. Allen and his friends left, vowing never to return to St. George's. No job now, no church. Allen became a chimney sweep and then opened a shoemaker's shop. With the rest of his waking hours, he preached the gospel and served the black community. His heroic efforts during the yellow fever epidemic of 1793 so impressed Philadelphia that tensions eased with St. George's Church. With the church's blessing, Allen assembled a group of black Christians on July 29th, 1794, exactly 214 years to the day on this year. 214 years from today, this meeting in a converted blacksmith shop began the African Methodist Episcopal Church, now known throughout the world, and Richard Allen would be its first bishop. I personally believe that it's very good and it is very important to remember such things as this. We live in a day when I think there is very much of an effort to rewrite history. Another one of those RE words that we've been looking at. To rewrite history. Either to deny the horror of the past and what people had done, or finding someone to blame it on. Statues dismantled, plaques and monuments ripped from their moorings are not going to be an effective way of forgetting history. And you know these things were gone at it hot and heavy over the last several months down south in particular. It's not an effective way of forgetting history. In fact, it intensifies it. The very thing they're not trying to do, it intensifies it. People have tried to do this same thing with Christianity. Outlaw prayer back in 1962, remove the Ten Commandments from courtrooms and schoolyards, and promoting ungodly evolution instead of the truth of how everyone came to be, namely through God's creative hand. Try all they may, they can't get rid of God. They can't relegate him to somewhere out of the way to get rid of him, to no longer deal with him. Can't do it. And you know why? Because God made everything. Amen? God already made it all and stands by all of it. So where would you put him in order to get rid of him? He created everything and he's with everything that he created. So how do you get rid of him? Which is what people are trying to do. How do you put him somewhere in order to get rid of him? The answer is nowhere. He is already everywhere. Amen? Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City is known for using that logic and making it clear. You can't get rid of God. They can try all they want, and they are not going to do it. It's not going to work. All through the scriptures, it is made clear how crucial it is that God and his ways are remembered and embraced. Praise God, we can count on various accounts of Richard Allen, the very guy we've been talking about. And this is one account of it right here. This is one account. We can count on the various accounts of Richard Allen as we have seen, to remind us how God keeps his story alive. The same thing is true with the scriptures. At this time, I would like to focus on one word, and that's the word remembrance. That's the word remembrance. We're going to look at three times that it is used, and oddly enough, in order. In order, and we wind up in three different books of the Bible. To me, that's amazing, because there are several places for this word to be found through the Bible. Several. But the three we're looking at are in order. Okay? They are in order. I'd like to focus on the word remembrance. In recent weeks, we have looked at biblical words such as rebellious, repent, and recompense in order to receive some direction from these words that begin with the letters R-E. They remind us of the mercy of God in taking a word and redoing it by putting the R-E on the front of these words. And that's in the English, let alone in the Greek. You'll see this too as we go along. Redoing it, developing a new word to make the original concept and taking it a bit further. In particular, this word begins and then takes a new step to say something beyond, something that really can't be spoken of without seeing something deeper. And that happens with each of these three words, step by step by step. It's the very same thing we've been seeing with other words. Okay, with other words. Praise God for that. Actually, I want to find the first word in the Gospels and then take it further. After the resurrection, all of the way into the book of Acts. That's just a very broad looking at it, okay, from the time of the resurrection and before the resurrection, you know, when Jesus was giving the word in the first place, and then into the book of Acts. Praise God. Probably one of the best known references of our word is found in the Lord's Supper. And I think just to enhance this in your mind, I'd like you to turn there. They're not long. You know they're not long because we already had them read. But this is Luke 22, verse 19. Luke 22, verse 19. Would you turn there? Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks. That's a very famous scripture, usually read at the time of communion. And I thought of actually saving this word for the next time we have communion, which might be soon. But I thought, no, it's okay, you'll understand. All right? And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the original Greek, this remembrance is anamnesis. Anamnesis. Obviously, the word that we have for amnesia, okay, is the is where this came from. God added the A-N at the beginning to give it that next view, that change. So it actually turns out to be amnesia. Okay? All right, that's where amnesia comes from, is from this word, if you take away the A and the M, or take away the M by itself and let the A stand. It's amnesia. It means not being able to remember something. Okay? Comes from this word. God added the an, A-N, as a prefix, making it thereby the opposite of remembering. So remembering is the opposite of forgetting. Right? See that? Okay. So he adds that to make that clear, make clear that the word for this remembrance is related, okay? And the opposite of remembering. Literally, it refers to a recollection, there's another E-R-E word, all right? Or a remembrance. Again, the word it comes from is anamnesko, anamnesko. And that literally refers to a calling to mind, a bringing to mind, and yes, to remind. Okay, that's that remembrance. That's what it is in the Greek. Okay? I want you to notice something here. There is an emphasis on a reminder that is rather forceful, or at least quite audible. It's a strong word, okay? It's loud, it's audible, and therefore easy to hear. The next example we want to take a look at is the very next occurrence of the word remembrance in the Gospels. In John chapter 14, we find Jesus revealing the promise of the Holy Spirit. In verses 25, 26, we find this: "These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter," sometimes called the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in my name, and he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance." There's the second place where that is found, "to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So whatever I have said unto you, whatever I have opened up to you in the Scriptures, there's a place of remembrance, okay? Whatever I have said unto you, you got to remember it. Praise God. As we move from the remembrance that brings Jesus as the Messiah into purpose, loudly, clearly, but now we see the shift of the coming of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's the next step. It's a quieter step. Okay? It's a quieter step. It was loud before. It was boisterous. Jesus is the Messiah. Secondly, the second time around, it's quieter. He's the Comforter. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you by the indwelling Holy Spirit. So you see the change there from a loud, conspicuous voice. In the first place, he's claiming to be the Messiah. He's the one and all, okay? And you're supposed to remember the things that he said quietly. All right? Praise God. And we see it in the Greek once again. This is the new word for it. Okay? It was anamnesko. It was that. But now it's hupomnesko. All right? Only this time the hupo is added. It's not in the other word. This is the hupomnesko. It literally gives a switch from a rather boisterous mind, reminder rather, to a specifically quieter one, okay? Instead of hearing in the midst of a commotion, our focus is going to have to be more centered, more quiet. Psalm 46:10 tells us this as well. "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. In other words, the Holy Spirit's responsibility will be to quietly and inwardly remind us of everything God wants us to know. Yes, our God-controlled minds will suggest the things and the ways of God into our own memories. Do you see the progression of it so far? Now the very next occurrence in chronological order of the word remembrance is located in the book of Acts. It takes one last step. I would be suspicious that you could find more of this if you went on. I don't remember whether I chose the first word that does this, but as we go along, you can see they're all connected. Amen? It's loud, it's less loud, and now it's going to be even less loud. Okay? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to give it, and He wants it to be heard by the heart, not just by the ears. Or as we used to say to our kids all the time, earballs. You've heard of eyeballs? Yeah. Well, we had earballs too. We were strange. Okay? In chronological order of the word remembrance is located in the book of Acts. That's at chapter 10, verse 31 in particular. Yes, beyond the Gospels and into the history of the church. Now, you ready for this? So watch this, because this is amazing. Watch this. This is the third in a row of the word for remembrance that we will see. The third and last. Okay? Beyond the Gospels and into the church, history of the church. Are you ready for this? Watch this. And what a story this is. I don't think I've found elsewhere in the Bible a story that is so intent on remembering what happened in Acts chapter 10. First, Peter has the vision of a sheet, a large sheet coming down from heaven, filled with unclean animals. He is told by the angel, he is told to go ahead and kill the animals and eat them. And Peter is absolutely stunned. I'm talking about the whole story, not just verse 31. The whole story absolutely stuns Peter. And he is told to go ahead, kill all the animals, and eat them. The problem is, the sheet was stuffed with unclean animals, things the Jews have been told to stay away from. Okay? Unclean animals. Peter's absolutely stunned. He says, "Not so, Lord." Excuse me. He says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." To make his point, the Lord took him to task. What God hath cleansed. In other words, Peter, maybe you didn't notice, but when I sent the Holy Spirit, I just cleansed that whole sheet full of unclean animals. And what God has cleansed, the angel said, what call not thou, that call not thou common. Don't call it unclean anymore. I cleansed the whole lot of them. Now you can eat them. See, he was in the process of coming out of Judaism and coming into Christianity. It was a whole new move that hadn't been there before. Peter never would have eaten these unclean animals. No way. He told him, he says, "I'm not doing it." But he says, don't call these things common. I've already cleansed them. I've already taken that unclean animal status off of them. And they are going to be available for people to eat. It's not going to matter anymore. That law is passed. That law is done for. Okay? This actually happened three times. The sheet came down three times. And he was told, go ahead and eat them. Three times. The number of times number of days, maybe I should say, that Jesus waited in the tomb for the resurrection. It's clean now, Peter. It's clean. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This actually happened three times. Why? God was trying to remind Peter that the Gentiles, and not the Jews alone, were going to be brought into the kingdom of God. The people of the day had a hard time believing that, to tell you the truth, because it had been so obvious that they weren't called. They were Gentiles. They didn't have the Lord. They saw all Gentiles as dogs. All right? We're going to be brought into the kingdom of God. That was clear. I think it was clear back in Jesus' day as well, but it wasn't clear to them. They didn't get it. Okay? They didn't get it. And the story itself is not told just once. The whole chapter shares it over and over and over again. In fact, it's one of the most tedious chapters to read, because the first expression of this is when Peter was told it in the first place. Then after that, he repeats it to a fellow named Cornelius, okay, who was a Gentile. The whole thing, all the detail, everything, it's like, you know, talk about redundance. You know, it's being said again. And then when they get to where they were going, it's said again. They tell the whole story all over again. It's a lesson. It's a lesson so that God can be glorified. The whole chapter shares it over and over and over again. When Cornelius shares his part of the story, he reveals that God told him, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had. Thine alms are had. Not that you're called to remembrance. You are already remembering. You have to remember. Thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Now we find the Greek to be another form altogether. Meneomai, another form altogether of this remembrance. Speaking of this remembrance, now watch, being but a fixture of the mind. It's like a lighting fixture, and it's in the mind, and the lights are all glowing, and there it is, a lighting fixture. That's what it's saying, okay? Fixture of the mind. Remembering being but a fixture of the mind, resulting in a mental grasp or to bear something in the mind. That's how seriously obvious God wants this to be. This is not a one-time yelling forth of the gospel. This is not a one-time of quietly giving the gospel. This is a fixture in the mind. This is, you know, a three-way thing going on here. The story was told three ways. Yes, it's a matter of having something in remembrance. Remember, had something, having something in remembrance. I see an even greater quietness, just a having in remembrance, not forcing the issue anymore. Not just a quietness, but thirdly, a indwelling quietness. So the Holy Spirit, well, first of all, it was the gospel of Jesus being pronounced. Secondly, it's a quietness of the gospel being pronounced. And thirdly, it's a three-way fixture of the mind. You know those lamps They got one bulb in them, but they got three different filaments in them. You know the ones I'm talking about? The three-way bulbs? You turn it once, and it comes on once. And then you turn it again, it comes on twice. And then usually when you do it the third time, they all go off. They're not supposed to. But you got to replace the bulbs once in a while. Okay? Once in a while, you have to replace the bulbs. The third thing is an indwelling quietness. Praise God. I think A.W. Tozer put it this way. He said, get Christ himself in the focus of your heart and keep him there continually. Only in Christ will you find complete fulfillment. Throw your heart open to the Holy Spirit. Invite him to fill you. He will do it. He will do it. Let no one interpret the scriptures for you in such a way as to rule out the Father's gift of the Spirit. You know, don't interpret things to get rid of the Holy Spirit. Peter made it very clear that it was all about clarity. It was all about clear thinking. Amen? And so it goes to the full tilt. Okay? Full tilt. Make your heart a vacuum and the Spirit will rush in to fill it. Yes, it's true. Put away every unclean habit from you. If other Christians practice it without compunction, God will be calling you to come nearer to him than these care to come. See, some people are going to want the fullness, and some people aren't. That's just the fact of the matter. Remember the words, others may, you cannot. Do not condemn or criticize, but seek a better way. Be hard on yourselves and easy on others. Carry your own cross, but never lay one on the back of another. Carry your own cross, but don't try to lay one of those crosses on somebody else. It's got to be a given thing. It's got to be them hearing from God. Here, I want you to have this cross. I want you to be tuned in with me. Amen? Carry your own cross. Carry your own cross, but never lay one on the back of another. Begin to practice the presence of God. Amen? And do it in remembrance of him. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Remembrance. 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 Loud and boisterous, quiet, with an inner calling. Quieter yet. Praise God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Would you join me in prayer, please? Dear Lord, as we gather before you today, we know, dear God, that you truly do want us to give your heart to so many people. And we thank you and we praise you, and we truly do give you the glory. And we need you, and we want you, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.